I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's my show.
Hey. Put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey. Put a little... Put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, hey, hey, happy to have you with us here on a Monday afternoon. Hopefully we're getting the last of this sort of death grip winter's head on us out of the way. And we get to start enjoying spring hopefully soon. But wintry mix of precipitation in the forecast for tonight. I mean, come on. All right, anyway, I don't need to be the old man yelling at clouds. I apologize. I can do that in my recreational free time, and there's plenty of that. Anyway, I'm the Bulldog. Glad to have you with us. Mike is out sick today. Got Zach Jones alongside. Sabres and Canadiens tonight. Pregame rolls at 6. We'll hear from Don Granato as part of the pregame. And hang on, let me find it. I do have it. A couple of players. Kyle Okposo, their captain, and Lucas Rusek, who's been – up and down a couple times now. I think he made the trip to Long Island, then went back to Rochester, and is back again tonight. That's as a safeguard against Tage Thompson, who I guess is going to be a game-time decision tonight. That's what he was on Saturday. He did play in that game against the Islanders. The Sabres won. Anyway, we'll get to pregame in a little while. We want to share some of what we heard from, what Sal heard, really. I haven't heard really any of it except for one clip about DeAndre Hopkins so far. What Brandon Bean, the Bills GM, had to say, meeting with the media at the NFL owners' meetings just a little while ago in Arizona. So we're going to get a big chunk of that for you right now and then be back to talk about it on the other side. So here is the Bills GM, again, just an hour or so ago at the NFL owners' meetings in Arizona.
What can you tell us about Taylor Rapp, who you guys reportedly signed, and if you are going to be signing him?
Yeah, we are. He's on a trip right now with his wife in Hawaii, but so he's finishing that up. Hope to get him over for a physical later this week, and probably towards the end of the week, we should have it wrapped up. But, yeah, it's a one-year deal with Taylor, and excited to get him into the Bills, into our culture and our system. He's a really good player, did well for the Rams, obviously part of their championship run a year ago. We spent some time with him, scouted him at UW when he was coming out, and really think his skill set fits our defense, and so glad to add him to the group.
Talk about maybe in Hawaii with the NFLPA thing, and were the guys recruiting him there?
Yeah. No, I think I don't believe it. I think it was just him and his wife, okay, is what it sounds like. Yeah, I think a scheduled trip.
Where is that fit for him, like behind Jordan and Micah? Like, where do you see him kind of fitting into that room?
Yeah, like anything, he'll come in and learn from those guys. And there's various things we do. You know, we've used the Buffalo nickel before. That could be a piece. You know, we could use some dime stuff. And then, you know, it's there will be various roles. He's a good player, and that stuff will kind of sort itself out. He knows what he's, you know, kind of coming into.
Brandon, how valuable is that depth, I guess I would ask you? Because obviously, you know, Jaquan's situation, and then with DeMar's, you know, not knowing what you're going to have in him necessarily, how soon, how valuable is a player like this?
Yeah, I mean, he started a lot of games, been on a winning program. He was a good college player, second-round pick. And so to be able to get him to come in here into our system, it was great. He was a, you know, guy we had eyes on. If if we lost Jordan, and so to be able to get Jordan back and now get him in the mix, you know, I'm pretty excited.
Hey, Brandon, Sean said this morning he is going to call the plays on defense. Yeah. What do you like about him being in that role and handling, managing the game and also calling the defense?
Yeah, I'm excited for us and for him. You know, he's the more it's kind of sunken in, he, you know, you see his excitement about calling plays, and that's how he got this job, was calling defenses and the successes he had. Obviously, I saw that up close and personal in Carolina, and I saw a guy go against, you know, some really good quarterbacks and some really good offensive, you know, minds, whether it was the head coach or the offensive coordinator calling plays. And, you know, I think it's it'll be good. You know, sometimes change, you know, change always happens in our business, and I see a fresh look on his face, like a little bit of excitement to do it. So I think our players will be excited to hear that as well.
Yeah, when you mentioned that excitement, it's obviously adding something to on top of his head coaching duties. But is that refreshing for him of like, here's why I got into coaching and I get to like be more involved in it? Or where do you see that balance for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, now that he's been a coach 6 years, he knows everything, the lay of the land. You know, the first couple of years you are in these positions, you're drinking out of a fire hose a little bit. We've got a system in place, a lot of people. We haven't had that much turnover, so you're not having to retrain all these people. And he's got familiarity on the staff, even adding an Al Holcomb, who's, you know, worked under Sean in Carolina, another guy that's new but yet familiar with our system. And obviously the other guys that have been working on the defensive staff are here. And so everyone will pick up, you know, what slack is needed. But having Sean call the plays, I think it'll be really good.
He didn't rule out, you know, some philosophical changes to the way that the defense is run with him taking over the play calling. I know it's sort of early to, you know, pinpoint that, but do you think that this defense could look significantly different with him calling the plays?
You know, I don't know if it would be significant, Jay, or not, but I think, like anything, you're going to see people put their own wrinkle on it. I mean, it's no different than we're running the same offense, you know, with Ken Dorsey that we did with Brian Daboll, but they both have their own nuances and the way they like to do things. Everybody has their own tweaks. And so, no, I definitely think Sean and the defense have been looking, you know, since we got back from Indy, have been looking really hard at the things we do well and maybe some areas we can improve and how do we want to go about that? Do we want to line up different? Do we want to call different? So I think there will definitely be some nuances and some adjustments that Sean will add to it going into, you know, this upcoming season.
I know we talk all the time, year after year, about you guys picking up the phone and calling on certain players. Multiple reports about DeAndre Hopkins out there. How much you can get into that, I'm not sure. But is there a level of interest? And what has happened, if there's anything that you can kind of add to those reports?
Yeah, I mean, he's on the Arizona Cardinals. And so I know the social media world. Derek does a great job of keeping me in the loop of that. And so, you know, what I would say is social media, don't take that too far. But again, you know me, when we've talked about OBJ guys that are, you know, we're always going to look for talent. And so we're going to look at anything and everything. And, you know, our name gets thrown in the hat, a lot of things that sometimes we've done 1%. One person made one call and they've looped us in that we're all over them and we've offered them a contract. And, you know, it's funny sometimes, but, you know, that's as far as I can go into it. He's on another team.
You made some moves. How much cap flexibility do you have right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting tighter. Obviously, you know, adding Taylor to the group, and Taylor Rapp, I mean, and we're still looking at some other pieces. We're not done with free agency. We're still trying to fill some holes so that, again, we don't go into the draft, you know, feeling like, gosh, we got to get player, you know, position X by a certain time or we're going to be in some trouble. So, there's always ways to be flexible, but again, next year's cap, 2024, you know, we're already going to be tight on that. So trying to keep that in mind if we were to do anything this year.
In terms of moves you have made, you know, the guards, Harris is a nice signing. It seemed like a concerted effort to alter and maybe upgrade the running game in certain aspects.
Yeah, I mean, I think we wanted. I mentioned it when I spoke after the first few days of free agency that we were looking for a little heavier back to complement Cook and Hines, and I think we did that. And Damian scouted him coming out of Bama, and obviously he's been in our division and had some good games, quite frankly, against us. And like his run style, was very excited to add him to our group. Big time pro, you know, from that standpoint. And again, yeah, we getting David Edwards in here, who started a lot of games for the Rams. Excited about him. I know we talked about Connor McGovern. Again, we said it after the season. You know, we want to be strong up front. It's very important for us, and that's not going to change between now and the start of the season.
Judging by your answer on DeAndre, is it safe to assume you haven't closed the door on OBJ yet?
I wouldn't, until someone's gone, I wouldn't close the door on anything. You know, I think you got to always assume that we'll always look and pay attention to people's markets and their skill sets, and if they're a free agent or if it's someone to trade for.
Somebody like that, like OBJ, I know Hopkins on their team, but somebody like that who's not necessarily a wide receiver too, how do you foresee them fitting into this offense with Stephon already kind of planted and so many targets going his way?
Yeah, I mean, Steph is our number one receiver. Even when we looked at OBJ last year, late in the year, you know, when talking to him when he came in to visit, you know, he was very, hey, I know this is, you know, 14's group, and as he referred to it, and this is, you know, his team. And so anyone that we add, whether it's now, whether it's in the draft, whether it's after the draft, Steph is our number one receiver. You know, it starts there. We've tried to add other pieces this year to, you know, alongside Gabe, Shakir coming back, Hardy, and, you know, kind of all these guys we've, Trent Sherfield, who we've added, is the complementing skill sets, things, guys that do different things that give Ken Dorsey a chance to give us, you know, very, you know, a variation of looks on offense.
Right. Have you seen an uptick in the last few years in trades around the league, whether it be in the offseason, around the draft, or even at the trade deadline? How active would you say that market is right now, just speaking in general? And what kind of a realistic avenue is that for you to potentially improve your roster, or does it maybe pick up a little bit more as you get closer to the draft?
I think it's you know, I think it picks up. I think there's, Jay, it's one of those things where there's, you know, for every 99 calls, maybe one strikes interest. So you may hear, hey, the Bills, like I mentioned earlier, have discussed trade with this. Well, there probably was one phone call, you know, maybe two, or maybe a call back. But I would say it's one out of 100 those that actually happen around the league, not just with us. But, you know, it's my way. I'm always going to pick up the phone. I'm always going to listen. I'm always going to look. And I'm never going to rule it out unless it's just either a player that doesn't fit our scheme or we think personality-wise or culture-wise wouldn't fit. Other than that, we'll stay in touch with that team or that agent until, you know, they've been moved or signed somewhere else.
You were at Ohio State's Pro Day last week. When's the last time you were there where the main topic was a player who's not draft eligible?
Yeah, I mean, it happens once in a while. You've seen it with some quarterbacks. I mean, I think, you know, even Alabama last year, you know, Will Anderson didn't work out, but, you know, you saw him around and people are like, man, that guy next year may probably gonna be the number one pick, and he might would be the number one pick this year if he came out. So, you know, it happens. But, yeah, I mean, Ohio State's put out quite a few really good receivers, you know, the last few years. Brian Hartline, who's now been promoted from the receiver coach to the, you know, to the OC, played in the league as a pro, and he's a heck of a coach and has done a great job developing these young men. And so, yeah, and obviously Marvin Harrison, you know, those guys, it's quite a group that, you know, that they put on.
The three guys coming off from the 19 draft class going in their last year, their deal, Gabe, Ed, and Tyler, would you look this maybe this offseason to maybe try and do something to so you have cost certainty going forward?
With
Ed, Oliver, Tyler Bass, and okay. Gabe, they're all expiring contracts going out of their rookie contracts.
Yeah, I think right now we're more focused on the draft at this point, but those are things that, you know, not to say that we couldn't get anything done before then, but probably put most of our attention on the draft at this point. But those are all guys that we like and could see being here for longer terms if we can get them worked out.
One of the things that Sean touched on toward the end of his availability was Josh Josh's evolution as a runner, maybe taking a more, a smarter, more cautious approach. And I know this is something we've talked about before, but as the guy who, you know, puts this roster together, is there a more concerted effort maybe to build things around him to help limit the number of hits that he takes beyond just Josh's decision making, I guess is what I'm getting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that any. I don't think it's a more concerted effort this year, Adam. I think it's been there. I think it's just more Josh's play style and Josh's competitiveness of, you know, he's, I mean, listen, the first game he came back, well, he didn't miss a game, but we were playing Minnesota after the Jets game, and we talked to him about, you know, yes, the doctor cleared you, but let's limit the hits, which we already talked to him about. And, you know, he's coming down the middle of the field, and the guy's ready to make the play, and he doesn't slide. You know, he tries to run over the guy. And so those are discussions that we have after the game. You know, why'd you do that? So it's just Josh also understanding, you know, his importance. And he does. When he's not between the lines, he understands it all. But he just gets in that competitive mode, and that's what makes him great. And so it's just him continuing to mature and understand, just like early on with those decisions to throw the ball away instead of try to force it in, let's go to second down or let's go to third down. Now it's about that decision to get down or get out of bounds a little bit more, and let's see at the end of next season if, you know, it'll be improved if we've taken less hits, you know, than we did this past year.
Is Calais coming in this week?
We haven't set anything up.
Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of Sal asked about, Ed was in that question, but that's one of those cap numbers that is still big, Ed's fifth year option. Is that something that, like, are you feel comfortable with where those numbers are now? You feel like you still need to possibly, like, make room with some of those deals like Ed's that are, like, taking up that much space?
No, I mean, Ed's number is still a good number for us. It's 10-5, and now we're excited about this year. Unfortunately, Ed, you know, he rolled that ankle week one, and even though he was back after that, he wasn't himself for a while. But I've spoken to him this off season and here recently, and he's fired up to come back. But we're good with his number. If we worked on an extension, that would be an avenue for us to lower his number.
Is that hard then, if he, you know, being in that fifth year option, knowing he dealt with the ankle last year, to be able to be like extend?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Options are big decisions for the long haul, especially with knowing how tight 24 will be. Like, how do you make those kind of decisions when he's coming off a year where you feel like he's impacted by that injury? Like, how do you balance that in?
Yeah, I think you have to weigh, you know, when did you think he was healthy, and what did that look like, and how did he affect, and you know, the whole group, and you know, he definitely didn't have the production he wanted, but how much of that, you know, was affected by missing games, or you know, he was playing at 85% versus being, you know, 100%.
Prior to the draft, where would you say you are in terms of your roster building, and then how much you've done, what's left to do?
Yeah, I mean, Tim, I think there's still, you know, I was texting with some of the pro guys this morning. When I say pro guys, our pro scouts, of just some of the conversations they're still in on people that would be interested in us. It's more in that bottom end range, whether it's a veteran minimums or very low numbers. I think you've seen, we haven't, since Hardy, we haven't signed anybody even north of $2 million. And that's, we're probably going to remain in the under two through the draft at least.
Does that include reps still?
Yeah.
Brandon, follow up on Tim's about the draft. You have elite players make a lot of money, which is your cap situation. Does that put you guys in a strategy of would like to gain more picks on rookie contracts?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to gain picks. It's just, what do you got to do to gain it? You know, you got to give up something generally to do it. So it would have to be something that I don't feel like, okay, I gave up this player and I got a pick, but now I got a hole there. Yeah. So I got to turn around and, you know, fill that spot. But yeah, any way that we could add picks, we would do that, whether it's now or, you know, if there's a spot in the draft. We did that last year. We added, you know, when we were, I think it was in the second round, we moved back a couple times to get some late picks, which some of those turned out, you know, to be guys that helped us. You know, we'll look to do that again if it makes sense. But again, I kind of let the board dictate that to me, you know, whether we go back or whether we stay where we're at.
You know, the veteran minimum guys, is that intentional in terms of potentially the compensatory formula?
Yes, it is. Yeah, we stand to most likely, get a third rounder next year. Losing Tremaine, you hate to lose Tremaine, but you want to be able to take advantage of it.
Sean talked earlier about losing Tremaine. I mean, that's a big piece in the middle of your defense. You've got, you know, young guys that I know you've brought back and that you like, but how comfortable are you right now, you know, with where you're at middle linebacker and the signal caller for your defense?
Yeah, we got guys, Jay, that, you know, again, you're not always going to be able to replace a Tremaine Edmonds or fill that in with, you know, with a big-time vet. It doesn't mean we've closed the loop on adding competition. I would say between now and when we get the training camp, you know, we will continue to add, whether that's in the draft or whether that's between now and then. And I do think there will be opportunities to do that, but we also, Tyrell Dotson's been in our system. Baylen Spector's been working out in Buffalo since the end of the season, and Terrell Bernard last year, you know, we played him more outside than inside, but we think he can come in there and compete. So I think however it will turn out, Jay, I think it's going to be an open competition. I don't think it's going to be some big-time vet that everyone knows is going to walk in as that starter.
Did getting Jordan back, when you got him back, did that affect your pursuit of that position at all in free agency?
Yeah, I mean, if we knew we needed to fill that, as DeMar continues to work his way back, and we're very positive and feel that's, you know, we're encouraged by where he's at, but it's not 100% all the way back. So if we had lost Jordan, that was definitely one of the spots we wanted to make sure we're prepared for, knowing that Jaquan was leaving. And, you know, DeMar was not 100% cleared at that point or even today.
I just know, like, if Jordan wasn't in the picture, would you have been more aggressive at middle linebacker?
Oh, I got you. My fault. Not necessarily. Yeah. But that did help bring in a leader back. And we talked about, it was more to your point, where are our leaders on defense? And, you know, obviously Mike is, but adding a Jordan back in there. And Milano extending him, we feel like we've got a lot of pieces around what looks to be right now a younger player at Mike linebacker.
Are you very comfortable with Micah's situation, him coming back after surgery?
Yes, you know, Micah was going to be cleared to play in that AFC championship, and he was of the mindset he was ready to roll. So wish we could have got that for other reasons too, but that would have been cool to go ahead and see Micah return, even though, you know, because when he had the surgery, we didn't think that was an option.
Bills GM Brandon Bean meeting with the media a couple of hours ago in Arizona, where the NFL world has really come together. The owners are there, general managers are there, coaches are there. It's the NFL owners meetings. That's how it goes. So Sal is out there, our Sal Capaccio. You heard him in the mix there. Couple of things real quick, because there's one thing I want to expand on I want to talk about how Bean was talking about Allen there kind of in the middle of that conversation. But just a couple of real quick things from that before I forget. We had a caller bring up Calais Campbell earlier, big veteran, 36-year-old, 15 years in the league, huge behemoth defensive lineman. And I mentioned in talking to the listener, the caller, about that, how I'd seen a report from one of the New York papers that Campbell was scheduled to visit the Bills. You might have heard that the question was faint, I think, but Bean was asked about a visit scheduled, and he said they don't have anything set up with Campbell, is how I heard that. So that's that thing. There's also, I just saw while I was listening to Bean talking, a report about Jordan Phillips being on the radar again. Of course, he did come back here last year, and I think was a helpful, useful player when he was healthy, but he wasn't healthy a ton. He really kind of got his year derailed by a couple of different injuries, the shoulder being the most damaging. But, I, you know, again, on the right contract, that player, I'd be happy to bring him back, and hopefully they can find a way to keep him on the field and healthy and productive. I'll get back to what Bean said about Allen and his running when we continue. I am the Bulldog, 803-0550. Anything you heard from Bean there, you want to kick around with me, lines are open for you to do that. I'll get into talking again about Bean's comments on Allen and his running when we continue after this. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep has the day off. You're listening to WGR.
Now a 3-on-2 back the other way. Buffalo get the numbers back quickly. Picked off by Mittelstadt. How fitting would that be? He drops it off. Here's Cousins. Walks in. Cousins for Skinner. Scores! Empty net goal with 31.8 seconds remaining. And Buffalo's up 2-0.
All right, indeed. There's a highlight from our buddy Dan Dunleavy. He and Rob Ray will be on the call again tonight. A home game for the Sabres and the Montreal Canadiens. That is from Saturday afternoon, early evening. It was a 5 o'clock start. On Long Island against the Islanders, the Sabres come away with a shutout win, 2-0. A pretty gritty, gutty road game type of game, right? I mean, the Islanders are painful to play against. I mean, just really tough. And, you know, the Sabres have had a tough time sometimes being patient and not forcing things. But on the heels of a fun Friday night win over the Devils, which is more your typical game, like flashy, exciting plays, a lead, and then hang on tight. We've seen that script followed a number of times this year, but they did hang on and get the win on Friday. Boy, Saturday was more like what we saw. There was the home game against the Rangers, and then, who was that next game against? I cannot remember now who they did a really good job. Oh, the Toronto game in Toronto the following Monday. You know, just sort of smothering, patient, defensive-minded. These are not things that you often use to describe the Sabres, but that's three efforts in the last couple of weeks where they've managed to do that, and Saturday was definitely called for, and they managed to get it. So, you know, we'll see, man. I mean, 6 points back of the Penguins, 7 back of the Islanders, 10 games to go going into play tonight. I mean, the math is not in your favor. But we'll see. You know, a third straight win, get some other results going your way, and who knows. The Penguins do not play tonight. The Islanders do, as do the Florida Panthers, who are between the Sabres and the two teams, Pittsburgh and the Islanders. I said those in the wrong order. The Islanders and Pittsburgh are 7th and 8th, the two wild card spots right now. So see where you're at the end of this week, maybe, you know, win this game tonight, get the Ranger game, and, you know, see where we're at. I know they keep sort of pulling you back in. I don't know how in anybody is right now. It doesn't seem that realistic, but
you know, a couple of wins can be pretty valuable at this point in the year. Anyway, Sabres and Canadiens coming up at 7, pregame at 6. Thanks for tuning in today, by the way. I am the Bulldog. Mike Chope is out sick today. Zach Jones alongside as well. And I mentioned as we went to the last break that I wanted to comment on what I heard from Bean in talking about Josh Allen and his running and his taking hits. And I think it was Adam Bonini who asked about, you know, what they've done on the line and the running game and, you know, Damian Harris is a signing. And, you know, if that is, you know, designed to take some of the weight off of Josh Allen. And in talking about that, you heard Bean, you know, talk about how they encourage him to be more careful, discourage him from taking so many hits. And I know, I think I saw some comments from Sean McDermott, I don't believe from today, I'm not sure when they were from, but pretty recently, also talking about, you know, Josh's running and the hits he takes. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's obvious about this commentary that they provide and even what I'm saying here. Of course, Josh Allen is extremely valuable. I mean, they're sunk without him. But what I think, especially from what I heard from Bean today, I think some of us, and I might even include myself in this at times, we hear them talk about Allen and their desire to see him slide, get out of bounds, not take as much punishment. And I think that the conclusion we reach is that they don't want him to run. And I'm not sure that that's the appropriate end point when you hear the coach or the GM talk about wanting Allen to be more careful. Certainly, I understand, you know, it's a pretty easy thing to do. And like I said, I think I've been guilty of it. I hear them talk and I sometimes think, man, they sound like they don't want him to run. I don't necessarily think that that's the case. What Bean is telling you specifically is that when he does it, they just want him to be a little more careful. They don't want to be smarter about it. He even says there that, you know, you talk to Josh, you know, during the week, you know, after games and in the run-up to the next game about it, and he understands and even agrees. Like, yeah, I got to be smarter. I got to be careful. I don't need to be taking unnecessary shots and that sort of stuff. And, you know, that all makes sense. And I think this will evolve over time as he gets older. I wouldn't expect him to be the super, super dangerous runner that he's been so far in his career, and I think still will continue to be for at least a few more seasons. Of course they want him to protect himself. I don't think they want him to not run. I don't think they're telling you we don't want Josh Allen running. And I say that because I think they'd be crazy to think that. He's an excellent quarterback, and we've seen him make great strides to the point where, like, he's one of the top guys in the league, and he can throw the ball, obviously. I mean, he's thrown for tons of yards and tons of scores and whatever. His resume kind of speaks for itself at this point. He's great. He's in the very top tier of quarterbacks in the NFL. The only person I would put confidently without question, you can argue about other guys, I don't think you can put him ahead of Mahomes. But I think after that, you know, pick your guy. Allen is definitely in the conversation behind the very top guy in the league, and that's Patrick Mahomes. So as a passer, he is valuable and dangerous, but his running adds such a dimension to his game. To want to take that away in any way, I think would be crazy. You'd be hurting yourself. Like, I know everything grinds to a halt the second that guy takes a hit that he can't walk away from, i.e. play right away afterward, all right? Gets knocked out of a game, gets knocked out of, you know, a week or two or half of a season or, God forbid, even more. Like, everything just stops, all right? The existence we've been enjoying since the 2020 season of the Bills being a Super Bowl favorite ends. But I also think if you were to curtail his running, like somehow get him to stop running, you would be doing the same thing. I just don't think this offense, this team, this player is anywhere near as dangerous as he is when he's running. If you take that away, so I don't, today listening to Bean, it just sort of dawned on me. This feels a little bit like for me when I realized last fall at some point that all of the noise that you hear about the Bills being interested in McCaffrey or Barkley or any other big name running back, I think is mostly just noise. I'll believe that they're going to invest a premium asset in the running back position when I see them do it. I think until then, I don't buy it. I don't think their actions back it up. You know, could be that they've been after every one of those big names and just haven't found a way to get the fish into the boat, but I kind of doubt that. I think either they want their name out there for some other reason, drive up the asking price for other teams, I don't know, or it's a lot of circumstantial assumption that's made. Oh, the Bills are great. They don't have a great running back. They could really use this guy. Hey, they used to be in Carolina. They know. I think there's a lot of dot connecting that happens there. So I've never bought it. This is similar to me. I'll believe that they want Josh Allen to not run as much when he stops running. And I don't think that's going to be anytime soon. Yes, would I like him to get hit less? Sure, I would. Of course they would. And like Bean even said, Allen understands and agrees. But you get him in the game and like he just, you know, he sees a 6'2", 240-pound linebacker in front of him and he wants to run him over. I know that isn't always smart, and be careful, you know, what you wish for, because maybe someday it will cost him, but he hasn't really been hurt running the ball at all yet. The two injuries he has suffered in his career, well, three if you count the head injury against New England that one year too, have been in the pocket. He's been hurt in the pocket. So I think it's time for us to start differentiating them talking publicly, Bean and McDermott, about Allen being more careful and not taking as many shots and equating that to they want him to curtail his running. I don't think they do. I think they'd be making themselves, by choice, worse if he didn't run as much. And that doesn't sound like a really good idea. He's right in the middle of the best years of his career, and his running is a big part of his value and what makes him so dangerous and excellent. And I don't take them saying we need him to be careful, more careful, as curtailing the running. So just wanted to just share that observation from what we heard from Brandon B. We'll take a quick time out here. Pre-game is coming your way in just about 15 minutes. Sabres and Montreal Canadiens tonight from downtown Buffalo. Mike Chope is out sick today, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you are listening to WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launcher online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, cruising along here on a Monday afternoon. Sabres pregame show just a few minutes away. Sabres and Canadiens coming up tonight. It is Pride Night. We found out from General Manager Kevin Adams when he was a guest on this show on Friday that indeed the Sabres will be wearing special Pride Night themed warm-up jerseys tonight. This has been something in the league that has controversial. There's been a lot of attention on it, that's for sure. I think it's been controversial. Players not wanting to participate by choice, teams bagging the entire Pride Night themed jersey. I think they've still had Pride Nights, but without the jerseys being worn for warmups. In some instances, the Chicago Blackhawks did this, the Islanders did this, the Rangers did this, the Minnesota Wild did this. It all started earlier in the season when Ivan Provorov, a Russian defenseman, citing his Russian Orthodox religion, refused to take part in the Flyers' Pride Night festivities. They wore jerseys. He didn't take part in warm-up, played in the game. That is expected to be, although religion is not being cited, I think there's just more fear of repercussions for Ilya Lyubushkin's family or even himself from the Russian government, the Russian authorities, a very backwards society. There's laws there, and you can dismiss it if you want and say it's just more shielding of homophobia. I don't know what's happening in Russia. I don't know what Ilya Lyubushkin or his family perceive or are could be going through if he were to wear the jersey. I don't know. So I'm not going to criticize him for the decision he's made. I think it would be easy to because I appreciate greatly the Sabres making the effort and following through and not taking the way out that some of these teams that I just mentioned did earlier this year in not having their players wear the Pride jerseys. As we understand it, Lyubushkin is the only player who is opting out of wearing the jerseys in the warmups. So that is what you can expect. The warm-up, if you're going to be there for it, beautiful design jersey special for tonight for Pride Night. And I'm proud of the Sabres for not bowing out like the Wild did and the Blackhawks did and the Islanders and the Rangers. Good for them. Good on them for going ahead and doing it and not following the path that these other teams did, I assume, to shield players on their teams who didn't want to wear them for whatever reasons they had. So, anyway, that is happening in just a little while when warm-ups get underway for a 7 o'clock face-off between the Sabres and the Canadiens. We'll take a timeout here, bring Paul Hamilton in, and get it fired up for real. Sabres and Montreal tonight. Pre-game is right after this. Mike Schoep is out sick today. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.